Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. All right, Indies, you know how I am about this topic. Ever since I left my job as a corporate attorney over a decade ago to start my own home-based business, I've continued to promise to pour my life out to you to empower you with lifestyle desires similar to mine to do the same thing. And today's show, I got to tell you, it's a super installment on that promise. For today, we have with us Carrie Wilkerson. She is the author of The Barefoot Executive, The Ultimate Guide for Being Your Own Boss and Achieving Financial Freedom. Let me tell you a little bit about Carrie. Carrie is a wife and mom of four who is juggling life, just like you and I are. She has the demands of health, family, finances, community, et cetera, but after finding herself over six figures in debt, overweight, and overwhelmed, Carrie decided to take matters into her own hands, and guess what she did? She started her own home-based business, yes, indeed. So along with children at home, a husband who traveled a lot with his job, and zero startup capital, you know how that is, Carrie launched a business that grew to six figures during its first year. Love button, ladies, right? I know you know it. Carrie joins us from her offices. And Carrie Wilkerson, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, so Carrie, we have to ask you first of all, tell us about that first business that got up to six figures in its first year. What was it? What did it do? And tell us what happened to it.
Well, that is a great question, and I've now done that multiple times. So it wasn't just a one-hit wonder. I've repeated it in a couple of different markets now in a couple of different ways. That first business, the first ridiculously profitable one is what I call that one, because I had been in business before and done okay, but continued overspending, you know, in my business, in which that this is how I got so much into debt. It wasn't because I was wearing Gucci or Prada or, you know, living the life. It really was just a series of mismanagement. But that first company was desktop publishing, okay? So I was creating flyers and newsletters for a small segment of the direct sales population. I was creating motivation, education, inspiration for people in the direct sales industry. For instance, my particular niche was Mary Kay. Mary Kay has consultants. Mary Kay has management. So I was working with management to produce those newsletters for them to send to their downline. I templated it. It was the same basic newsletter for every client, but we customized it in that we put in their top 10 salespeople, their top 10 recruiters, those kind of things. So that really was, I didn't have any special software knowledge. I didn't have any computer knowledge. I knew how to do email, and I taught myself how to use that desktop publishing software. And really, this was 10 years ago next month, as a matter of fact. And I was, I didn't know what a virtual business was, but I created a high six-figure virtual business before virtual business was cool. And basically, self-taught, truthfully, which is not ideal, but basically self-taught and zero marketing budget, which the truth is with that market, you can't really advertise to them anyway. There's no place to just find Mary Kay directors. There's no email lists. There's no affiliate marketing. So it really was my first experience in a virtual business or service business. And this is probably why I'm so passionate. I tell people, if you really want money fast, capitalize on a service first. Quit worrying about information products. Quit worrying about, you know, big ticket coaching. Let's look first what you can do in exchange for money. And, you know, this is why I think childcare businesses are born and lawn care businesses and cooking for other people and any kind of service-based business. It really is the lowest startup available and the highest profit margin. It's just a matter of your time.
You heard it right here. So many nuggets of instruction in there, not the least of which, Carrie, is talking about how you learned how to watch your bottom line and make sure that you're not spending too much money in your business. I love that story. Thank you so much for sharing that. And you said that, doing it on the fly, not ever having done it before, is probably not the best way to do it. But, Carrie, isn't it the way most people are doing it these days, at least the people that we're talking to today?
Right, and here's the other thing is I refused to be helpless. I refused to be spoon-fed. I didn't have somebody saying, now, step one, do this. Step two, do that. I told somebody the other day, I refuse to ask a question that I haven't already Googled first.
Very good advice.
I don't want people to think I'm stupid. I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to take something that's common knowledge and make somebody impatient, but it just teaches us to be independent learners. I know I'm not the only person on this podcast who, when I was a kid and said, Mama, how do I spell this? I know I'm not the only person here whose mama said, go look in the dictionary. You go look around. You go find that answer, and you'll remember it better. I think we're in a culture of wannabe business owners. Okay, I've already slipped into stepping on toes. I hope that's okay. But I think we're in a culture of wannabe business owners that want to be spoon-fed, want to be handheld, and want their education chewed up and spit out for them. And the fact is, if you are an independent learner, not saying you don't ever take a class, not saying you don't ever have a coach, but holy smokes, people, Google how-to something. Go to YouTube and look for a tutorial on how to set up your autoresponder. Quit being so dependent. You never learn how to walk unless you let go of the hand and take some steps. You got to be willing to fall down.
You got to be willing to fall down. We're talking to Carrie Wilkerson, the Barefoot Executive, and she is breaking it down. Okay, and you guys know this is true. Carrie, I just got an email this morning from someone who wanted to be a guest on the podcast, and I kid you not, it said, hello, I have a business and I'd like to be a guest on your show. What do I do? That is all it said.
Mm-hmm.
It did not have a signature. It did not have a website link. It had nothing. And so what you're saying is so true. You have to be able to be an independent learner. And when you are, Carrie, wouldn't you say you have a massive piece of leverage over other small business owners because so many are not independent learners and they don't have the attitude that you're talking about?
You're so right, and I wrote about this in my book, too, that the person that modeled this for me is my dad, and my dad is now 73 years old. As a matter of fact, this week he's in Mexico rebuilding an orphanage with several of his retired buddies. Now, my dad was not raised as a contractor. He was in the Coast Guard, 27 years search and rescue, and then he's been over 27 years in the ministry, but now he's building, and I love to tell the story that when I was about 8 years old, we moved from one Coast Guard station to another. And with my dad, ownership was a big deal. He didn't want to live in base housing. So he bought a house for the five of us. I had two older brothers, and then I was the baby. And this house had two bedrooms and one bathroom. And
wow.
I remember, I'll never forget the day we walked into the house, and it was pretty customary back then for him to go first, pick out the house, buy the house, before my mom ever saw it, because, you know, money back and forth and all that. There's no email. There's no texting. So we walk into the house, and my mom says, well, honey, I think it's great, but where are we going to put everybody? He said, oh, I've got that all figured out. I'm going to build a second story. And she says, but babe, you don't build. You don't know how to build. He says, it's okay. I have ordered this series of books. They're the Time Life series of books on building. It's a continuity program, right? One comes a month. Electrician, drywall. We still have these books. Not kidding. 30 years later, we still have these books. He packs them and takes them to the orphanage with him. He put a second story on my house learning from those books. He added two bedrooms and an upstairs bathroom, a flight of stairs. He knocked out walls and enlarged the living room and den. He put a barbecue pit in the back and a party deck through these books. Did he ever ask for anybody's help? Yeah, sure. At church or something, he'd see a contractor and he'd say, hey, I'm working on the drywall here and I ran into this. Have you ever encountered that? That's such a different question than, hey, I want to build a second story. Where do I start?
Yeah.
Right? There's so much ownership
in
that. So my dad taught me you can figure out how to do anything through a book, a membership, a mentor, but show the initiative.
Show the initiative. So important to remember, too, that people will help you more when they see that you have taken the initiative to help yourself. Now, Carrie, your book, which is fantastic, again, The Barefoot Executive, shares a lot of in-the-trenches tips, and we're going to get to some of those. But I want to ask you this. Is it an overstatement to say that your book really sort of says that there is an entrepreneurial imperative today? There's a quote in here that says, you must own a business. And so my question is really, why is that? Tell us why you have come to that conclusion and how we can sort of shift our mindsets to embrace that if we have not already.
Yeah, and you know, the thing I would qualify that with is the truth is we're not all necessarily wired to be risk takers and full-time entrepreneurs. Let me preface it with that. I have brothers who I adore. They're wicked smart. They're amazing. But they're really wired more for jobs. However, I tell them the same thing. I feel like, especially right now in this economy, especially in this uncertainty, there's job uncertainty. People that have been at their jobs 30 years watched their retirement poof disappear. People that paid their dues are watching tenure go away. There is no certainty. There is no security. And so I believe everybody should have at least a part-time earning venture. That being said, I don't necessarily encourage everybody to go buy a florist or buy a pizza franchise or anything like that. But I do recommend that even, you know, a high-paid executive look at a part-time real estate investment or look at a lawn care service on the weekend or investing in that with a couple of subcontractors, creating some kind of secondary income so you don't become that person that is two payments away from foreclosure. You don't become that person that's a pink slip away from financial ruin. I think learning to create your own income is so powerful. And we've all been gifted with skill sets or talents or opportunities where we can create $100 to $300 a month. I'm not saying everybody needs to be a seven-figure business owner in charge of the world. It's not that. It's the fact that if you could pay your car payment every month with your side business earnings, how much more security do you have than somebody that's worried about the boss being in a good mood or the market holding out?
Such really good points. And, you know, Carrie, it makes me think about this, okay? We don't hear people saying, oh, well, everybody's not cut out to have a job. Everybody doesn't have good interpersonal skills. Everybody doesn't know how to play well with others. Therefore, they shouldn't be expected to have a job. We don't have people saying that. And I do think there's a bit of an analogy here. You talked about how your dad taught himself how to build a house, essentially, from about 10 or 12 books that he purchased and a little bit of advice from people at church and people who wanted to help him out. There's no reason why you can't train yourself to embrace some of these principles. Again, no one has ever said, oh, you're really bad with people. Don't worry about that job thing.
Right, exactly. And the other thing is I don't believe good employees are born, and I don't believe good entrepreneurs are born. I believe that it's a matter of a skill set. I had no entrepreneurial aspirations until I adopted my older two kids. My husband said to me when we were in college and dating, he said, I think you'd be a great business owner. He noticed I would make little comments about, oh, I think they could improve this here, or, oh, why aren't they doing that? He was an MBA, and he said, I think you'd be a great business owner. And I said, ugh, I am so not cut out for that. But then all of a sudden, when my circumstances shifted, I was happy being an employee. The truth is, I'm a rock star employee. I'm always the most underpaid because I'm the one that's most overachieving. And then all of a sudden, I adopted two toddlers that were high need, and my primary job became get these guys up to speed where they need to be. And so I walked away from a job I was very good at and I loved and stayed home. Now, I didn't create a business then because I really had a passion for it. I didn't create a business then because I really had this great idea or wanted to make a lot of money. I created that business because we were super young. We were both still on the career path. My husband was an MBA, but still really low on the pay scale, and we needed the money. Period, end of story. I was not passionate. I'm not one of those people that says, find your passion and the money will follow. I think that's bull. I think get passionate about being profitable first. Get passionate about your mortgage. Get passionate about the kids having their needs met and passionate about being able to breathe at the end of the month. And then you can worry about being passionate. When did we become such a spoiled, entitled nation that we think we have to love what we do? Don't love what you do. Love why you do it. So no matter what business I created, no matter what I do even now, it's not a matter of I wake up every day and I'm excited to go do XYZ, although I am in a position more now of that than ever. But it's a matter of even when I was doing the newsletter company and doing 20 and 22-hour days, I'm not exaggerating, with two toddlers, it was a matter of I am passionate about not being in debt. I am passionate about not my husband not having this burden on him. I'm passionate about being here with my kids and not having to commute an hour and 15 minutes a day. That's what I was passionate about. The you know, I didn't love newsletters. I didn't love desktop publishing. I didn't love those long hours, but I did love the results. So I think we have to adjust our expectations and look at our priorities. You know, it's kind of grates all over me, as a matter of fact. All the teaching about do what you love and the money will follow, that's not true. I mean, I love to sing, and I'm not going to make money singing. You know, I love to be with my kids, and I'm not really going to make a lot of money doing that. I just think we have to stop being so spoiled. We're the first ones to gripe about teenagers and college kids being so spoiled, but listen to us. Well, I just haven't found my passion yet. Well, boo-hoo, get off the couch and do something and be passionate about the paycheck that comes along with it.
Oh, that is, you are so speaking our language here on Indie Business Podcast. Carrie Wilkerson is breaking it down. Be passionate about who you're providing for. I have two children, so goodness knows when I don't feel so excited about doing something associated with my business, I remember that tutu I promised somebody, and suddenly I can't wait to start doing what I do every day. Carrie, we've got a question from Melissa at Naturally Good Soaps. Melissa is a single mom. Fantastic soap, by the way. Try the lemongrass, but I digress. Melissa is a single mom. She has a son, and she also has a full-time business, and she has worked really hard over the past couple of years to grow her business, and she's made wonderful strides. And what she wants to know from you is, how do you suggest, you know, doing a successful integration? I'm not even going to use the word balanced because I have a predisposition not to like that word, but how do you suggest that she, what tips can you offer to help her successfully integrate her full-time job, and you had a full-time job even though it wasn't in your home when you were doing outside, it wasn't outside of your home. How do you suggest that she integrate the things that she has to do in her job and the things that she has to do at home so she can create the kind of lifestyle that she wants? What are your tips?
Yeah, and I love that you didn't use the word balance because I believe it's a myth. Somebody asked me the other day, how do you keep your sanity? And I said, well, the first rule is you have to adjust what your definition of sanity is. You have to adjust what your definition of balance is, and you have to adjust your expectations of what all that means and what your priorities are. Now, I have four children. They are 16, 14, 7, and 4. And my oldest has extreme special needs, and, you know, you were talking a minute ago about wants and needs and whys, his care and therapy ranges from $3,000 to $3,500 a month. I mean, getting up and working is not an option, really. I mean, it has to be done. But integration and balance and all those things, I would say the first thing to remember, especially in regards to your kids, is they are not as fragile as we would believe. They are not as fragile as we would believe. I would say that kids are resilient. Kids can be trained, and we're the ones that have trained them to be so needy. I have worked here at the house full-time since my older two were 4 and 3. And so I will say that they don't really even know that I work, even when I put in some serious time. And it's because I'm available for them. However, I've also trained them that when this sign is on the door or when my office door is closed, this is the box of toys that you guys need to be, you know, occupied with, and then it'll be your time. When the timer goes off, then it's your time. I have, I'm looking right now in my office. The back wall of my office is painted with whiteboard paint. It's called idea paint, and the top half is for me, and the bottom half is for them. So right now, you wouldn't even know, but right now, the baby, who's 4, could be in here drawing on the whiteboard, and you wouldn't have a clue. She's with me, she's with Mama, she's not missing anything, and she's also respecting my work. So I believe you do have to be a little flexible, but here's where I think some moms, and now I don't know about you, but this is where some moms, I think, drop the ball. They're trying to also look at how do I also fit in TV and how do I also fit in, you know, coffee with my friends and then kids and all that. And the fact is you're going to have to give up some you stuff for a while, even when you think there's no more to give up. I mean, I gave up hobbies years ago. Work became my hobby. Growth became my hobby. I gave up, unfortunately, taking care of myself, and so I'm now back at that being a priority as far as physically. But the fact is you just have to, one, make sure that you've adjusted your expectations. Two, make sure you have conversations with your kids about, you know that you want all my attention, or I know you have this to do, but while you have soccer practice today, I'm going to be in the car making some calls or writing out some orders or connecting with some leads. so that we can afford to keep doing soccer, so that we can, you know, go do the things we want to do. Mommy has to sometimes do what we don't have to do. I do sometimes have to readjust my kids' expectations in that I say, hey, guys, you know that amazing vacation we had, or you know how we got to go get that video game or go to those movies? That's because Mom puts in some extra time here. So I know it's not always fun for you, but the fact is I'm not gone 10 hours a day like some of your friends' moms, and I get to pick you up every day, or Dad gets to pick you up every day. So I think it's a matter of training our kids on give and take, first of all, and the fact is they'll respect you big time for that, and they'll love those sacrifices. They'll appreciate you for that. But the other thing is we're going to have to give up some personal stuff. I do also teach some productivity tips, as far as you have to really be sure that what you're doing within your full-time business is really the most productive thing you can be doing, and that it's not something somebody else could be doing for much less than what your hourly fee is worth. So what I mean by that is everything a must for you, or could you outsource that for $6 to $8 an hour and buy some of your time back? You know, I disagree when people say time is money. Now, that used to be the way. That used to be the way with my parents' generation. Time was money. I need to be out there busting it and hustling because time is money. Well, I believe that money is time right now. And when you're in a position of profitability in your business, buy back some of your time. Pay somebody to clean the house, even if it's once a month, and then adjust your expectation of clean, you know, and deal with it. Let the kids help you with laundry and those kind of things. Chore time on Saturday morning at my house, I don't have a housekeeper or a nanny, but chore time Saturday morning at our house is quality time we're all spending together. Yes, we're working, but we're working for a common goal. We're working for the good of the family. The kids are earning a little pocket money. I'm not having to spend on a housekeeper, and we're still all spending the morning together. So, you know, those are just a couple of tips there. But when I started the Barefoot Executive, a lot of people think, oh, your only business that you've created is teaching other people how to be in business. That's not true. This is about my fourth business. And I started this while I was already running the high six-figure publishing company. And so I built this as my hobby while still running that high six-figure business and had a 10-week-old baby who was number 4. So, yeah, some things had to give. I also bribed my kids with a vacation. I said, in 6 months, we're going to go here. We're going to pay for it entirely with cash from the new business. And so you guys are going to have to know that sometimes I'm going to be on the laptop when we're out by the pool. Sometimes I'm going to send Dad to go to the movies with you instead of going. But you guys need to know that this is going to be our reward. We're going to go here and do this. And it doesn't have to be an elaborate vacation. It can actually be something really simple. Like Saturday is all you guys. It's all you if you just let me focus while you watch this on TV for this 1 hour, or while you have this play date, et cetera. So I don't know if that helps, but that's kind of the way we do it around here.
Well, all I can say is, Melissa, great question, and Carrie, awesome answer. I mean, so many fabulous nuggets in there. And I love what you said about, you know, adjust your expectations and deal with it. And certainly, how wonderful is it to explain to your children? I blogged about this the other day. Explain work to your children. They have to understand the importance of work. And today, work is changing. So they're growing up in a world where, shoot, a significant option for them is going to be able to work at home and raise a family at the same time like we're doing. So thank you so much for all those nuggets of wisdom that you shared.
Let me add one more thing there, is that we have this mentality that when I'm working, I'm taking away from the kids. And the fact is, when I'm working, I am creating opportunity for my kids. I am creating choice for my kids. My son is in an amazing program. He has brain damage, and he is in an amazing program at the cost of $3,000 to $3,500 a month. Normal people can't do that. Average people can't do that. People that work jobs, how do they go in and say, I need to create an extra $3,000 this month? It's just not possible. And none of it is covered by insurance. It's all cash out of pocket. So I'm creating opportunity. My teenage daughter the other day said, Mom, I want to skip summer camp this year, and I would rather go on an orphanage mission trip instead, because I feel like when I'm an adult, I want to work in an orphanage as a nurse. And so, you know, absolutely I'm going to create that income to make that happen. So when I'm working, it's benefiting my kids. It's not taking away from my kids. My kids have no sense of deprivation whatsoever, and I put in some hours, and I have for about 10 years. But I can also create sometimes a flex and sometimes off. And, you know, my 40th birthday is in March. And so my husband said, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, I want to take the girls, and I want to go to New York. and I want to spend the weekend in New York. I want to be the first one to show them New York. I have some performers. Some of the girls are performers. I said, I want to be the one to take them there. So are they going to be resentful when I'm doing an extra call or an extra webinar or an extra push? No, especially if I say, hey, guys, this one is going in the New York bucket. This from this call, this is for New York. Yeah. So give me an hour. You guys go play together. Give me an hour, and then we'll connect after that. And they're really very understandable about that.
They so need to understand that. Thank you so much for sharing. And by the way, you asked, was it helpful? Melissa has said she's having some serious aha moments. And Melissa's coming with me on the Indie Cruise in a couple of weeks. So, yes, Melissa, we're going to be talking about this. But, Carrie, before we go, I want to ask you a question about one of the things you talk about in your book, and that is tips for starting a goods-based business. And you mentioned earlier that you would suggest people start off with a service-based business, but let's switch to a lot of our listeners like Melissa who already have a goods-based business. What are the top tips you have to offer for success in a product-based business where you're making the products that you're selling?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a tricky answer on that. And I'm going to say, really, everybody is in a service-based business, and it's the service of solving other people's problems. Mm-hmm. So if Melissa is making candles, what problem are you solving for people? What solution are you providing for people? That's number one. But if you are in a goods-based business, I want to encourage you, one, make sure if you're drop shipping somebody else's stuff, make sure you're looking at good profit margins, good terms, those kind of things. Don't get in over your head with inventory. I'm a huge fan of starting with almost zero capital, really. I really advise people, please don't ever go into something that costs you over $1,000, especially if you're starting because you need to be starting and not just because of a vanity business, because you want to be starting. You know what I'm talking about. You know the difference. So I would say that the fact is, make sure you don't get in over your head with expenses. Make sure you are doing effective marketing. There's a great section in my book, I'm not sure if you're at this point yet, where it says how to find the people that need you, how to find where your people are hanging out, and how to connect with them. And this is why I love social media. It really is. It's really like fishing. You know, my husband's a fisherman. He knows that you only catch fish if you fish in the right place with the right bait at the right time. You know, he's not going to go marlin fishing, blue marlin fishing in a lake in Texas. It's just not going to work for him. So you have to find the lakes that are populated with the kind of fish that are most likely to bite the bait that you're offering, and then you connect there. The other thing I would say for any kind of business, now I'm going to say that again because I'm so adamant about this, any kind of business needs to be building an email list, period, end of story. You need to have an email list. Email is not dead. Email is more effective than social media. You might be surprised to hear me say this because I love social media. I have a bajillion followers and fans in social media. But the fact is, social media does not necessarily drive the buying mechanism. It can socially influence their buying decisions or their buying propensities. But until you have them on the email list where you can send them a direct offer, a respond now offer, a here's what we have offer, you are missing out on so much money, it makes me crazy. And also, what if Facebook goes away? We can't imagine it, but MySpace, look what happened to MySpace.
Absolutely.
Right? There's always the next thing. And here's the other things. I have almost 120,000 followers on Twitter. If we know that 70% of those people quit paying attention within their first month and they quit checking their account, if we know that everybody else is spread across so many time zones and only checks in, the average user checks in once or twice a week, if we know that the rest of those people are only on for maybe a little bit of the day and your stuff goes by so fast in the timeline they're not seeing it, why would we leave our marketing efforts to that? So I would say watch your expenses, watch your costs, don't overdo an inventory, work very closely with your accountant to know what's deductible, what's not, know your return policies, et cetera. Fish where the right fish are with the right bait at the right time and build an email list. And then the last thing I would say to anybody in any business model is quit apologizing for selling something.
Mm-hmm.
Quit apologizing for selling something. When we're dating, we don't apologize for being at our best and offering to spend more time together or leaning in for the kiss, right? I mean, it's just part of closing the deal. When we are doing our own business because it benefits us, we all of a sudden get this weirdness about it. I have never walked into Walmart where they apologized for putting a price on something, ever.
Such good advice. You've got to be out there. You've got to get that email list together. Our last guest said the same thing. email marketing rocks. I'll echo that as well after over 10 years in business with you. Kerry Wilkerson, the Barefoot Executive. You have delivered. You have helped me deliver today, and I thank you so much. Guys, follow Kerry on Twitter at barefoot_exec. You can also find her on Facebook. You can go to barefootexecutive.com and find her there as well. Check out this book, The Barefoot Executive. It's on Amazon and every place else, and it is fantastic. You need to get your hands on it. That is it for today's show. This has been a doozy. I'll see you next week right here on Indie Business Podcast. In the meantime, life, build your business, and have your way.